Joining me first tonight is attorney extraordinaire Matt Staver. Matt, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Good to be with you, Brandon.
Matt, let's start out with this one. Military, federal employees, and civilian contractors sue Biden. Tell us about that, please.
Yeah, we filed a class action lawsuit last Friday. On Monday of this week, the federal judge already has set an injunction hearing, so this case is moving very fast. It's against Biden, his Secretary of Defense, and the Secretary of Homeland Security, because that governs the Coast Guard. It's on behalf of all members of all five branches of the military, all the 2 million plus federal employees that are under Biden's mandate, and then all of the 3.7 plus million federal civilian contractors that make really this country run. So for example, the products that are used in the military, none of that's created by the federal government. It's all created by private industry. Many of these are ex-military that have used their expertise and talents that are very, very specialized to create drones, F-35 fighters, stealth jets, all the way down to the shoelaces on their boots. So this is a massive lawsuit. It's a class action. And we filed it on behalf of all branches of the military, Brandon, because what's happened to the military is absolutely abusive. No matter how many years, no matter how many medals and decorations, no matter how many tours of duty, no matter how long they've been away from their family, no matter the images that stay in their mind and the cries of their colleagues that were blown up or maimed or never came back, no matter all that sacrifice, many of them joined in 2001 with the 9/11 situation. They joined there because they wanted to fight for the country. So this is now their 20th year anniversary. Some of them have been in there longer. They're all levels of the military, up to the highest, down to all the different categories of the military in terms of who we represent. And no matter their service, if they even ask for a religious exemption to the COVID shots, they're being threatened with solitary confinement, some of them, and the rest of them being threatened with dishonorable discharge. It's the ultimate betrayal of the men and women who deserve our respect. They are heroes, and it is to their sweat, their blood, giving of their lives and sacrificing of their families that we owe our freedom today. And yet Biden has ultimately knowingly imposed this mandate when his own doctors published an article in June of this year in the Journal of American Medical Association, Cardiac Journal, that these shots were already harming men in the military, causing them to have heart inflammation, myocarditis, and pericarditis. They knew that they're harming men in the military, and they're harming many, many other people as well. But they're forcing these shots, and they're saying, Brandon, if you even ask for religious exemption, you will be dishonorably discharged. We have an Air Force reservist. He has been 29 years in the military. He's set to retire December 1 of this year. He has 4 to 5 more days in the Air Force uniform between now and December 1. And they're telling him, get the shot or be dishonorably discharged. It is absolutely abusive. The chaplains that we represent and that we work with say, Brandon, that the rate of suicide will increase because of this abuse.
So guys that have worked their whole life to get where they are, now they're going to get a dishonorable discharge. What does that do to their career and their livelihood and ability to get a job after the military? And what does that do to their pension?
It wipes everything out. So all their service, all their medals, all of their income, all of their GI Bill, all of their retirement, everything is gone. And worse than all of that monetary that they deserve, their dignity is gone. Because these are men and women, Brandon, like the Navy SEALs. The short title of this lawsuit is Navy SEAL 1, because we represent more than one Navy SEAL, versus Biden. And how appropriate that a Navy SEAL is taking on Joseph R. Biden. But these Navy SEALs are the elite of the elite. They have seen images, Brandon, that you and I would never want to see and certainly would never want to remember. They have been in these places where their lives are on the line, where their spouses and their families can't know where they are. And therefore, they don't know if the next delivery package, where it's knocking on the door, someone to deliver a package, they don't know that it might be the ultimate call that their loved one is not coming home. And those people no matter how long they serve, no matter what their rank is, they're being threatened with dishonorable discharge. What that means is instead of getting an honorable discharge, as they should, that they will have a badge of indignity that will carry with them for the rest of their life. You can imagine you sacrificed everything for your country, everything. And now your country turns its back on you and betrays you and stabs you in the back and gives you a dishonorable discharge. Why? Not because you didn't take out a terrorist, not because you didn't defend the country, not because you didn't put your life at risk, but because you didn't want to inject one of these experimental drugs into your veins. That's it. And you didn't want to even recognize that the First Amendment exists and that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act exists. We're representing those individuals. We also have a case, Brandon, that now is at the U.S. Supreme Court. It's out of Maine. We represent over 2,000 healthcare workers, and it was filed yesterday. Justice Breyer, who's over that particular circuit, First Circuit Court that governs Maine, has already ordered Maine to respond by Monday. And so this case is being fast-tracked at the United States Supreme Court. That's just another case that we're litigating right now.
And by the way, I turned here to my computer, and when Matt leaves us here, I'm going to play a video for you, because this is not the first time that Joe Biden will have had a run-in with the Navy SEALs. I don't know if you know this or not, yeah. Matt, but I've got a video dated January 12th, 2019. January 12th, 2019, I put a video clip up online. January 12th, 2019. SEAL Team 6 parents on why Joe Biden should not be president. Now, yeah. I'll play that in a minute, because their son, this is my friend Billy and Karen Vaughn, their son Aaron Vaughn was one of the 17 Navy SEALs shot down, I think, August 2011 on the helicopter known as Extortion 17. I think it was a total of like 30 or 31 American souls on board. Joe Biden is the one that outed, because yeah. Joe Biden can't, you know, control his mouth even before he had dementia. And Joe Biden outed SEAL Team 6. And you're going to hear from the mom and dad of the SEAL Team 6 member, Aaron Vaughn, who died. But when that happened, Aaron called his mother and said, any reference to me or anything else, get off your social media, because Biden has now outed us and our involvement with bin Laden and that raid. And you need to, and we are worried about our family members. I'll play the 6-minute clip by Billy and Karen Vaughn filmed in our studio. But so what's interesting is it made me remember that. I turned to my computer to pull that clip up, and I'll drop that yeah. in here in a minute. But this is not Biden's first entanglement with the Navy SEALs. And now you're bringing him the next one, aren't you?
I am. And we have some amazing Navy SEALs. We have a Navy diver who does underwater explosives and dismantles underwater explosives. We have colonels. We have a lieutenant colonel, a female African-American, just an incredible lineup of individuals. But on this Naval SEALs, I know families and I know Navy SEALs, and you know, they lead a completely different life than you and I lead, because they're going through elite, very difficult training, but then they get deployed to the Middle East or some other place where their lives in danger, and they're gone for a couple of months, and they're essentially incognito. And so their families have to really scrub things on their social media. Yep. And so when they're gone, not only are their lives at risk, but their spouses and their kids' lives are at risk. Their parents' lives are at risk. So they have to be careful what they put out there on social media, because if somebody like a terrorist finds out about them, which is what Biden did, he outed the SEAL Team 6, and the terrorists would want nothing more than to go after their families, their spouses, their kids, and to wipe them out. And so these are men and women that live like that. They live like that, Brandon. And they do it because they love this country. And now they're being told the First Amendment doesn't exist. The Religious Freedom Restoration Act doesn't exist. And even the Emergency Use Authorization Law, who cares about that, they say, because we're going to force this anyway. And if you don't get it, you'll be dishonorably discharged. And in fact, our first count in this case, Brandon, is on the Emergency Use Authorization Law. And I want to be very clear. There is no FDA-approved COVID shot available anywhere in the United States. And it's not going to be available for months and months. The one that was FDA approved is BioNTech's Comirnaty. But the FDA clearly said in August and September, and the NIH has confirmed it as well, and it's a fact, that it is not available anywhere to the population. So not available, so what if it's approved? It's not available, right? So that means you only have Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson that are under emergency use authorization. And that law is very clear. And that law says that individuals have the, quote, option to accept or refuse, close quote, the product. And that means all of these mandates, whether they're from the government or from private employers, they're all illegal and in violation of the emergency use authorization law, because these are experimental and investigational. And the consequences that we're seeing, even in the military and outside of the military, regarding their lack of safety and obviously their lack of protecting people from the COVID Delta variant, we're seeing it's a disaster.
So they're all breaking federal law. You would think, Matt, and Matt is with, he's the lead counsel and founder of the Liberty Council. Again, his website, your website is, I'm sure it's under your name. What is it?
LC.org, just LC.org.
That's pretty easy, LC.org. So Liberty Council. So you would think, Matt, that since this is a violation of federal law, and it's so black and white and clear and cut, that one court after another would be rushing to take these cases. But they're not,
right.
Are they?
Not very many cases have actually raised it, but we've gone into a lot of research, and it's very, very clear. There's really no question about it. And in fact, even the DOD mandate of August 24 said that the only thing that they could actually require is FDA-approved COVID shots. Well, there is nothing available. And so the only thing you have is emergency use authorization, because there is no Comirnaty. And in fact, even if there was a Comirnaty FDA-approved shot that's available, even if hypothetically it was available, which it's not, then the only thing that happens there is you don't have that as a defense. You don't have the EUA as a defense. You have other First Amendment and religious freedom and Title VII for private and public employees. You have those as a defense. But you still couldn't use Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson and force them. And so that's what they're doing. And they're just pretending like everything is authorized, and it's not. And so we actually have internal information of the highest levels that the military, inside the military, people that are in the legal aspect of the military, they are questioning these orders, and they're actually saying that these are likely unlawful orders. These are not lawful orders. These are indeed are unlawful orders. Why? Because they recognize that there's no FDA-approved COVID shot available. They recognize they're all under emergency use authorization law.
Tell me about this one case. I saw it in your newsletter that the U.S. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer has ordered Governor Janet Mills, health officials of the Maine Department of Health and Human Services, Maine Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and five of Maine's largest hospitals systems to respond by Monday, October 25th, to Liberty Council's request for immediate relief. Does that give you hope that the U.S. Supreme Court is ordering that? Does that give you any hint of what's to come?
Well, it doesn't give us the outcome, but it certainly gives us hope that this thing is going to be expedited now at the Supreme Court. This is a case where we filed on behalf of about 2,000 healthcare workers in Maine. Governor Janet Mills, as she did with the churches, she thinks that she is the law and that there's no other law other than her executive order. So she issued an executive order that says all the healthcare workers have to get the COVID shot by a certain date, and that there is no religious exemptions. She's ordered all the employers not to honor religious exemptions. These are even employers that want to honor it. They're being ordered under the governor's order not to honor it. So that means she's pretending that Title VII, which governs employment for both public and private, just doesn't exist. And with regards to individual employers, she's pretending that she's immune from any First Amendment or Title VII complaint, that they just don't exist. Through her executive order, she can set aside federal law. So that is up before the Supreme Court. The First Circuit went the wrong way on the case, but it's a conflict already because the same executive order was issued by the New York governor, and we're litigating in that state as well. And there's a statewide injunction in that state. So now you got the Second Circuit, which governs New York, saying you can't do that, and there's an injunction. And you got the First Circuit that governs Maine that says, oh, well, it's okay, no big deal, you can do it. So now our case for Maine is pending at the U.S. Supreme Court. We actually filed it yesterday, and within a few hours, Justice Breyer, who's over that circuit, ordered the state to respond right away. That's a good sign because it looks like it may refer it to the whole court. And I think with this court on religious freedom, the court has been very good on the issue of religious freedom. And that's what we have here, because Governor Mills just simply says no religious freedom for any healthcare workers. She called these healthcare workers earlier in the year superheroes, which they are. And they've gone from superheroes working through the pandemic, working through even when these COVID shots came available in December, risking their lives like the military men and women, and they have worked day in and day out. And now they're super zeros because they are terminated. We have a woman who, you know, back in 2019, Maine already had a healthcare shortage. They were begging for more people. So one of our clients moved from another state, got a nice signing bonus in 2020 because they were recruiting people, giving them big bonuses to come to Maine. She works there. Now she says, I don't want this COVID shot for religious reasons. And they terminate. They terminate her. They're willing to literally let thousands of these healthcare workers go. And this was going to cause, and it's already causing, a healthcare crisis in Maine. And it started to cause a healthcare crisis in New York until the injunction was issued, because already some hospital wards have been shut down in New York early on because the nurses just walked away.
Will you be arguing that if the Supreme Court takes this case, I guess you'll be arguing it before the Supreme Court, correct?
Yeah, if they ask oral arguments sometimes on something this emergency, like with the church cases, they just did it on the papers. But if they set an oral argument, I certainly will. I will be arguing another case that the Supreme Court accepted. It's a case out of Boston, totally unrelated to this, but it's a Christian free speech viewpoint case where Boston censored Christian free speech. So our briefs are due on that mid-November, and I'll argue that after the first of the year.
Good for you. So this is also a violation of the Nuremberg trials. I would think that that would also catch the attention of some of these justices too, that this is actually an international law problem.
Yeah, you know, it's so wrong on so many different bases. The Nuremberg Code actually is posted on the NIH and FDA's website. And it's a strong code because it came out of the 1930s and 40s where the Nazis were experimenting on lots of people, but particularly Jews. And they were doing it without their consent or knowledge. And they were doing so they said, let's never go down that road again. And they did the Nuremberg Code. Point one of the Nuremberg Code is you have to have free and informed full consent. And everything stops after that if you don't have consent. Informed consent. You have to know what the product is, what you're getting involved with, and then you have to freely agree to be a participant. And clearly that's being violated by this governor, and it's being violated by all these mandates.
What is the, before I let you go, I saw one of your newsletters that you've got grown men calling your office, and they're in tears because they're about to lose everything for their family, right?
Yeah, Brandon, we've never seen the volume or the intensity or the emotions as we're seeing now. We have military men and women. We have grown men and women calling us daily, and they just begin to sob. One man, for example, called, and he's about ready to lose his job. He's the sole breadwinner. His wife has cancer, and she won't have any medical treatment. We got a call from a woman, communication from a woman. We had several this week that are kidney donor. They're on the kidney donor list. They've been pulled because they didn't want the COVID shot. One of them has a brother who has a matching kidney. So the brother is willing to donate his kidney to his sister. She's approved, but now she just got moved off. Why? Because she didn't want to inject her body with this experimental, frankly, dangerous drug. And so it's, you know, these people are under incredible stress. We have a husband and wife. They work at the same company. She's pregnant. She doesn't want to take the COVID shot to put her baby at risk. And so now they both stand to lose their jobs, both incomes at the same time, and health insurance in the middle of her pregnancy. I mean, Brandon, what we're seeing is the worst abuse and inhumane treatment I've ever seen. I never thought there would be this kind of depth of evil at the corporate level, at the employment level. And certainly we see it at the government level as well.
Well, you kind of just answered my next question, which is, in all your years, Matt, have you ever seen such lawlessness? And did you ever anticipate such lawlessness in America?
No, I never anticipated such lawlessness, such ignorance, such deception and lies. But I never anticipated the abuse and the trashing of good people, whether it's men and women who serve for 20 years in the military and gave everything, and now they're being threatened with dishonorable discharge, whether it's the healthcare workers that put their lives at risk and they're being terminated or threatened to be terminated, or, you know, whether it's other people who are 20, 30-year employees and they're a year away from retirement and they're being told it's all over if you don't get the shots, or whether it's a young mother, like one of the young mothers who has children. She's a second career person, and she's now one semester away from graduating with her nursing degree. She'll graduate in December, and she's done, and she's put all that sacrifice into this new career, and now she's being told, get the shot, or your nursing career is over for good. Before I mean, that's the kind of abuse and inhumanity that we're seeing. And those cries, when I say they're pleading, I mean that they're pleading. They call us. They're hopeless. And many of them break down, and it causes our staff, because it's so emotional. The stories, they're unbelievable, but they're true, unfortunately. These cries of help just never leave us. We are doing whatever we can. We have tens of thousands of people that we're helping. One of them, for example, when I say tens of thousands, in addition to those that we're specifically working with, we have, for example, a group that is representative of 19,000 airline employees alone. They represent every person, every transportation vehicle. And they're all being threatened, pilots, rampers, you name it, flight attendants, with termination. And you know what? How blind is this? If they terminate all these healthcare workers, and I'm talking about massive amounts of healthcare, these are not small percentages. One hospital had 23,000 employees, and 19,000 of them said, no way, we're not getting the shot. So we're talking about large numbers.
Right.
And if they do the same thing with these men and women that serve in the airlines, this country, as we're moving into Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's shut down.
Yep.
And that's not only airline passengers, it's cargo, it's your deliveries, it's food, your groceries, it's the things that you need. All of that's shut down. It's insanity, Brian. Brandon, it's just insanity. I don't understand. It's a real darkness, I think, that is gripping this country, Brandon.
Absolutely. And you add in the fact that now you're talking about people who have medicines that they must have to stay alive. And now that's being impacted.
That will be impacted. You name it, everything is impacted. And this is going to impact everybody. You know, somebody might be able to live their lives and not think about the men and women in the military. I can tell you, though, what will happen is it'll affect national security. Absolutely. And international security as well, because it will destabilize our military. You may not see it for a while. You may not know anybody, but you might live with that for a little while until you realize, oh, my goodness, this is a national security issue. You might even live with some of the healthcare workers until you need a healthcare worker and you realize, oh, well, I can't get in. There's nobody there. In fact, one of the hospital wards shut down their maternity ward because the staff had left.
Oh, wow.
They said, no way, we're walking out. We're not getting these shots. But when you shut down the transportation, I'm talking about including trains. This 19,000 includes people that are working the trains, airlines, passenger, cargo, you name it. You shut down that, and you're right. Somebody who needs insulin, it's not going to be shipped.
Matt, before I let you go, I also remember reading in the last week or so that Biden, talking about the Navy SEALs again, did you hear this? That those that don't get the shot, he's going to make them pay back, what, the $100,000 it costs to train them?
Yeah, we've also heard, you know, they get signing bonuses, they get other kinds of bonuses. All that's wiped out. VA benefits, no VA benefits, no GI Bill. All of their pay is gone, no retirement. Everything's gone. And in addition to that, you get this black mark. So every time you go into the private sector now and you try to find a job and you served in the military, what are you going to have to put down? Dishonorably discharged.
Yep.
And how are you going to find employment after that?
Exactly. Yeah. And so, Matt, let me ask you this. Leave us with a little hope. You've got now a court order by the Supreme Court, Justice Breyer, that they've got to respond to you there in Maine, was it? Monday.
Maine, that's right.
By Monday the 25th.
That's right. And so that could be a case. I mean, we could have a ruling on that by the end of next week, Brandon.
Wow.
And the other case with the military, although it's a long complaint, 400 pages with the exhibits and then another pages with the memo, about 450 pages. The legal issues are straightforward. And we crafted it that way So there's not a lot of factual baggage. And that way it can go directly to the Supreme Court. It doesn't have to be bogged down in the lower courts, just like we did in the church litigation. We got 6 or 7 cases before the Supreme Court in a very short period of time. And we crafted this one in the same way. So whether we lose or win at the lower court, you know, our ultimate strategy is get one of these things to the U.S. Supreme Court and stop these mandates once and for all, nationwide for everybody.
Now, if folks want to get your newsletter, they can just sign up for it, just like I get it in my inbox at lc.org. LC as in Liberty Council, lc.org. Right, Matt?
That's right. And if you have one of these mandates that is, or you know somebody who's being threatened with one of these mandates, go to lc.org, click on the legal help tab right on the top, fill out the legal help form, watch the video, look at some of the religious liberty or the religious exemption sample letters, craft your own. We'll be in contact through conferences and emails to walk people through the process. So we're going to do everything we can to help you. We've gotten a lot of religious exemptions, a lot of them, but too many people are being threatened and too many people have already been terminated.
Do you know what percentage of your religious exemptions are being accepted?
I don't know. We haven't kept track of the percentage, but there's a lot of them, whether they're students or employees, none of them in the military because they're all getting denied.
Right.
But we're doing a lot, like Tyson Food, for example. Every one of those got rejected. What they say is, oh, well, your religious exemption is accepted. It's approved. But now you have to take a 1-year leave of absence without pay, after which you're going to be terminated. I mean, it's just stupid, ridiculous, insane things. And so Tyson is going to be one that likely will have to be sued, among some others. But we do have many, many people that send emails and call us every day thanking us and just so appreciative that their job, that they can still, you know, put food on the family for their kids, for their family, is still there because we help them get a religious exemption.
Excellent. Great work. And if people want to support it, they can do that at lc.org, right?
That's right. There's a donate button right there on the top, lc.org, lc.org.
Great. Thank you for all you're doing. And we'll be following this case and the response by Maine due to you on the 25th of this month on Monday. And we'll be following that and hope to get you back when you're available.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
Thank you for all you're doing, Matt. Thank you so much.
Thanks. God bless.
Matt Staver, the Liberty Council, lc.org, lc.org.